Another simple truth, simple to understand, but hard to live. There's not a one of us that already this day, maybe we've just been awake for 4 or 5 hours, but that truth that I am not my own, I belong to the Lord, should have impacted our lives in some way. And some of the simplest decisions we make in the first few hours of the day really can be centered upon that truth that I am not my own, I belong to the Lord. And I trust we would live as much as we can by God's grace with that reality and that truth in the big areas of life, in the context of that verse that statement is made in the book of 1 Corinthians. It relates to our bodies, but also to every little decisions in life that we make as well. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, we're going to just... Rather brief message this morning, but I think some life-changing truths, as God's Word does for us, about this relationship and this position of mothers and grandmothers. This morning, as I mentioned in announcing that Justin and Emily will be expecting their first child on December the 1st, that represented within this body is multi-generations of believers, at least three generations represented in some families here. I don't think anybody's here this morning, a fourth generation. Anybody with a fourth generation here, anybody? Okay. Yep, you do. So here, the Rhodes, four generations represented here this morning. And what a wonderful thing. What a miracle. What grace that we have that. But multiple generations of believers in families, and what a blessing that is. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, God honors a mother and a grandmother by name. You know, every mom and grandmother leaves something precious for children and grandchildren. Maybe it's a special memory. I don't know why the last couple of days I've just thought of my mother. I just thought of this funny picture that I see in her. My brother and I, we enjoyed sports. We played a lot of sports. We played a lot of baseball and played a lot of catch and wiffle ball with my brother and my dad and our neighbor friends. And I remember there was a particular day when I was probably 8 or so that I was just bored and I was being kind of difficult. And my dad wasn't home. My brother wasn't home. And my mom said, and I think my mom was a pretty good aunt. Gloria, why are you smiling? Okay, about being difficult. All right. I remember my mom, my brother wasn't home, my dad wasn't home, and my mom said, well, Steve, I'll go out and play catch with you if you want to go out and play catch. Well, that was fine, but it was mother. I mean, you know, playing catch with your mom just isn't like playing catch with your dad or your brother. But we were all right-handed, and my mother was left-handed. And we only had gloves for right-handed individuals in our home, and so I took her up on it, but I just pictured this week, thinking about my mom as she was standing there with a glove for a right-handed person on the wrong hand. And as you're throwing it to her, it was cockeyed. It wasn't what I was used to seeing. And it sort of, you know, it was just kind of different. But I, you know, just a willingness of a mom. Just the willingness of a mom in so many areas of life. And, you know, we all have pictures and special memories or respect or love or devotion, or maybe a special recipe they actually left you that helps us remember our mothers. Well, Timothy's mother and grandmother left something for Timothy that was eternally valuable. You know, the word heritage is defined as, in a material sense, as property that descends to an heir. But it also could be defined as something transmitted or acquired from a predecessor. Something transmitted or acquired from a predecessor. And our heritage, our legacy, doesn't, as parents or mothers, grandmothers, and really for all of us, doesn't always have to be physical. We can't neglect the spiritual or our Christian heritage that we are to establish and leave for our children and grandchildren. The book of Proverbs admonishes those that are reading it, especially those that are younger, to not remove the ancient landmarks established by your predecessors, by your elders, by your parents. Those spiritual landmarks, other purposes, other values that have been instilled, don't remove those, because there's great danger when you do. And so Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and mother, Eunice, left Timothy the greatest heritage of all. They left him a sincere faith that we'll read about, and they also left him and imparted to him the scriptures, the truth of God's word. And so this is a Christian mother's divine obligation, a divine calling, to pass on to children through the intimate affection that only a mother expresses the truth concerning God and salvation. And that really is the purpose. And so we'll look at three things here quickly this morning. First of all, well, let's just read these two passages, this passage and another, and then we'll just make three points this morning. First of all, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Paul writing this last epistle of his life as he's about to be martyred, he's imprisoned, and he writes Timothy, his son in the faith, and he says in verse 3, "Timothy, I thank my God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also." And then just turn the page to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. Paul continuing to admonish Timothy towards the end of this letter. And he admonishes Timothy and says in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ." And so let's just look at three things about this faith that was passed on, this multi-generational faith that was passed on from Lois to Eunice to Timothy and so forth. First of all, we see that when I ask the question, what was the characteristic of this mother's faith and this grandmother's faith? In other words, what did their faith look like? If they possessed this faith in Christ and they were going to pass this faith on, what did this faith look like? Well, the scripture says there in verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, in the first part of that verse, that it was a sincere faith. The King James Version uses the word unfeigned. That has the idea of being unhypocritical. It is sincere. In other words, in contrast to some of the other things that Paul was going to address with Timothy about the false teachers there in Ephesus, he says of them, in contrast to his mother and grandmother's faith, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, speaking of the life of these false teachers, he says this, he admonished Timothy to have this. "Now the end of the commandment is charity," or love, "out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." In other words, early in the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, he admonished him to have a love, but he have a faith that was sincere. And that was an element of his mother's and grandmother's faith. In other words, it was a faith that endured because it came from the heart versus just an outward conformity in that faith. In other words, his mother and grandmother's faith rose out of who they were in their heart. You know, as parents, we make a lot of mistakes, all right? And so parents, mothers, grandmothers, it's not about being perfect, but being genuine in who you really are that is to come out in your faith. I was thinking about preaching from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, and Proverbs chapter 31, rather, verses 1 through 9. Proverbs chapter 31 starts off with this, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. We're not really sure who King Lemuel was as he wrote this section of Proverbs based upon the instruction that his mother gave him. There's three options. Some people believe it could have been King Hezekiah. Others believe that possibly it was just this fictional kind of idealistic character of what the perfect mother would be and what the perfect king would be, and through the proverb that Solomon is simply depicting a perfect king and a perfect mother. But the other option or possibility is that Lemuel was a pet name given to Solomon by his mother. And that his mother, possibly mentioned here, is Bathsheba. And so Bathsheba by no means was a perfect woman. But yet, as she lived for the Lord, responded to God properly in her life, she possibly taught these things to her son Solomon, and he is simply writing them down. And she was not a perfect woman. So it's not about being perfect, but it's about being genuine in who you really are when it comes to your faith. As children are trying to determine the place and value of faith in their lives, it is important that they see a sincere life that results in an impacting faith. Okay? In other words, that they observe in our lives a God that's working in us from the inside out. That's what our children need to see. Children want to see the reality of Christ in the lives of their parents. Not perfection again, but the reality of Christ in their parents. Timothy had mentors, did he not? He had mentors. He had the mentor of mentors, Paul the apostle, instructing him. But he also had models in faith, people that were modeling this sincere faith. Timothy became a disciple by observing this unhypocritical faith. You know, some things are taught, right? But most things are caught. And so Timothy became a disciple, a follower, learner of Jesus Christ, partly due to, and probably prominently due to, the fact that he had a sincere faith to follow from his upbringing. The power of your life that encourages our children to an unhypocritical faith. As I mentioned in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, these truths taught to a king Lemuel by his mother. And as an adult, would have been treasured in what he had seen lived out in the life of his mother. Okay? Children will remember your ways even more than your words. The Puritans had a wonderful quote. Listen to this quote the Puritans had as it relates to the impact of a sincere faith to those that are younger and that are following us. The Puritans would say this: "With your words, place your nails, and with your life, drive them deep." Isn't that a wonderful thought? As it relates to our faith, Jesus Christ in our lives, that with your words, what we teach, what we instruct them in, we place the nail, but it is with our life that we drive those nails of truth deep into the lives of those that we influence. And so, what was the characteristic of their faith? What did it look like? Well, it was a sincere faith, a sincere faith. And then secondly, the construction of faith. The construction of faith. How was it communicated? When did the building of this faith begin? We see in 2 Timothy chapter 1:5 and even in 2 Timothy chapter 3:14, that continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Okay? This faith, how was it constructed? Well, it was constructed because it was a shared faith. It talks about that of whom you have learned them, from a child you have known. So learning assumes that there is a teacher. Okay? And so it was a shared faith. So parents, we need to have an unhypocritical faith, a sincere faith that is willing to be engaged in the lives of our children, our grandchildren. We have to be communicating our faith. We have to be talking about our faith. We have to be imparting the scriptures and the truth of scriptures in their lives. Don't brush aside the difficult questions that your children might have for you as they journey through life. The difficult questions about life, or the difficult questions about the scriptures, or about Jesus Christ. Don't brush those things aside. Stay engaged. Be prepared. Oh, we're not all prepared. We feel so inadequate, right? All right? Emily, Justin, there's probably some sense of inadequacy that even on that happy day that you found out was like, oh boy. Oh boy. Okay? And none of us were completely prepared, and parenting never ends, and so you're even after years, you're still learning. You're still failing. But yet don't shy away from that. What does Deuteronomy say? We talk about them in the way when we rise up and when we sit down. There's many ways, formal and informal, casual, that we can have interaction with our children about our faith and about living out our faith. So be willing to do that. We need to share our faith in a way that helps our children pass the traps and get through the traps of this world. We need to do that as for our teens and young people. And so how was this faith constructed? Well, it was shared. They were engaged in the life of Timothy. Okay? Secondly, it was a scriptural faith. A scriptural faith. Verse 15, he told him in verse 14, continue in the things which thou hast learned, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, how was it constructed? It was shared, but it was scriptural. It was based upon the truths of God's word. Okay? Parents, we must give our children something that goes beyond ourselves. We must give them something that goes beyond ourselves. It began at childhood. It says, thou hast known from a child. That same word there is used of Jesus in the manger, even John the Baptist in the womb. So in reality, Timothy could not remember a time when he wasn't exposed to the scripture. How many of you, that's true, you cannot think of a time where you were not exposed to the scripture? Raise your hand. Okay, look at that. A good number, at least a third. Okay, and if we count the nursery, it'd be, well, add some more to that. Okay, in other words, some of you have grown up in a Christian home, like Timothy did with Lois and Eunice, his mother. That's all you've ever known is the scripture being imparted to you. Now, that has its unique challenges. But young people, it is a great blessing. It is the grace of God in your life. And you must be thankful for that. So Timothy could not remember a time when he wasn't exposed to the scripture. But yet our children have to have an awareness beyond, this is just how our family does it. This is just how we do it. Okay? We as parents, as grandparents, have to give scriptural reasons why we live and do the things that we do. Okay? We have to do that. We must ground children in the reality of an eternally perfect God. We point them to such a God through exposing and instructing in the scriptures. Okay? As we talk with our children, do we bring scripture to bear on the discussion? Parent, grandparent, do you? Do you know the scriptures well enough in your own life personally? Are you living them out in a sincere faith where you can take that truth of scripture, that nail of scripture, and place it where it needs to place, but then you drive it down deep through your life and through sharing and engaging in your children in those areas? Why is scriptural faith so important? Well, the second part of middle of verse 15 says that he had known the scriptures from a little child, which are able to make thee wise. See, the purpose of the Bible is not just knowledge, but it is wisdom. Okay, it is wisdom. That word wisdom from the book of Proverbs means skill, has the idea of skill. In other words, skillful living. So scriptural faith is important. We have to point them to the scriptures and the truth of God's word, not just the way that we do it or the way our church does it. We have to point them to the truth of God's word because it is the scripture and the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, that will help them to grow to wise into salvation and wise in their living as well. Okay? So it needs to be a scriptural faith. Okay? A scriptural faith. And that's what we see here. And so, what was the characteristic of their faith? It was sincere. How was it constructed, and when did it begin? It began as a child, and it was something that was scripturally based in his life. And so, and the last one is the culmination of a mother's faith. Okay, the culmination of a mother's faith. In other words, this was a faith because it was sincere, it was genuine from the heart, from the inside out, not perfect. And it was engaging in the life of Timothy, and it was scripturally based. It resulted in fruit. Okay? Resulted in fruit. Okay? And does that mean, parents, some of you have done your job, you've had a sincere faith, a genuine faith, you've been engaged in your children's life, you've pointed into the scripture, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I don't believe that's a promise. I think that's a general principle that is given there in the book of Proverbs, that as we, as parents, do our job scripturally and genuinely, that a general principle is they will not depart. But we understand there are those heartaches and those challenges. But what was the culmination of a mother's faith and grandmother's faith for Timothy? Well, it was a faith that produced spiritual fruit, seen through the life of character of Timothy as we see it here. It says there in 2 Timothy 3:14, this faith that you have been assured of. In other words, Timothy came to develop a settled conviction that what he has been taught and observed was true. He was assured of it through life, as he's a young man now, maybe in his 30s, receiving this letter from Paul to pastor this church at Ephesus. He had grown in these things. He had become assured of these things. He had developed a settled conviction in his life. Okay? Young people, the challenge to you and our challenge to you, and I hope hopefully by our lives of sincere faith and our teaching of the scriptures to you through the various avenues that we have to minister to you in your life, I trust we're doing a job that is honoring to the Lord. But young people, at some point, you must get past, this is my parents' faith. At some point, you as Timothy must work through this and get to the point where, no, this is my faith. Okay? There's a lot of talk today amongst evangelical young people of deconstructing their faith or detangling their faith. Okay, there's a lot of that going on. Okay, books being written about it. Okay, and so young people, you, yes, have to work through some of these hard questions of life and some of the failures that you've seen, even the lives of others that name the name of Christ. Those things are going to happen. And maybe those that are closest to you, those that you respected for many years in their faith. But you're going to have to work through these things to come to a point where it's no longer my parents' faith, but it is my faith. How do we know that Timothy's life culminated in this life of a godly character? Well, what were some characteristics of Timothy that reflected this character? Well, one thing quickly, he was surrendered. He was surrendered. Turn to one other passage, Acts chapter 16, if you would, please. I've mentioned a little bit that Timothy is now in Ephesus, the city of Ephesus, as he's called to lead this church there as a young man. Paul's already said to Timothy, Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. He's telling him, reflect the character of God in your life. Okay, that's very important as a young man in ministry here. Well, kind of to go back to the beginning of that, in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, we have here the life of Timothy at the beginning when he was first called to serve. Paul says here that Paul came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. Catch this. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek or was a Gentile. Which was Timothy was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him, or Timothy, would Paul have to go forth with him. And Paul took him and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And so for Timothy to effectively minister with Paul in this area that they were ministering to, which possessed a number of Jewish people, Timothy, having a mother that was a Jew, but a father that was a Gentile, Timothy having never been circumcised, that sign of circumcision, though transitioning, and there's a time of transition in the church, Paul thought it important that he be willing to go through this rite of circumcision so he could properly minister to the gospel to these people. And Timothy surrendered. He was a surrendered individual. He wanted to make sure that the gospel could go forth. He was willing to become all things to all men that he might win some. And Paul said, to the Jew, I became as a Jew. To the Gentile, I became as a Gentile. In other words, Timothy had that heart. He had that surrendered heart. So Timothy's character was one of surrender. Also, he was spiritually minded. One other, I think it'd be good if you turn to it, Philippians chapter 2. Not only was Timothy surrendered, that was the fruit or culmination of his faith, but he was also one that was spiritually minded. He was spiritually minded. Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said this as he's writing from prison. Verse 19 says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may also be of good courage when I know of your state or condition. He was going to send Timothy to this church at Philippi to see how they were doing. And he says, I hope to send Timothy shortly unto you. Let me tell you something about Timothy, why I would send him. He says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. In other words, Paul said, when I think of who I might send to you, Timothy is the only one that I feel like is like-minded. He is similar-souled. In other words, he's developed the proper priorities and purposes and philosophies of life. He's a spiritually minded young man. That was the culmination, one of the culminations of his faith. Also, he was selfless. He was selfless in his character. Look what verse 21 says. All right, he's not only like-minded and will naturally care for your state, but he says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. In other words, he was Christ-centered, Christ-motivated in his life. He was a selfless individual. And then he was a servant, verse 22, okay? But ye know the proof of him, the testimony of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. He was a servant. He had served with Paul. And so the culmination of his faith. And so just some wonderful things about generational faith here. Right? The characteristic of this faith that we pass on, that it must be a sincere faith that comes from the heart, not outward conformity. Okay? It's not perfect, but it's genuine. And then we also see that it was this construction of faith began at childhood, and it was something that was shared, and the scriptures were brought to bear on the questions and the pathways and decisions of life. And because of that training, because of that commitment, early in Timothy's life, the culmination is that he had a life that was surrendered to God. He was spiritually minded. He was selfless, and he was a servant. And so we have this day of commending mothers. But this day is not just a day of commending, but it's also a day of commitment. Okay? There's no more influential role on earth as a mother. And so mothers, never doubt the importance or value of your calling. It's critical. Stay committed to it. And I know you surely do ask God for it, for his help in it. And so that's the application to mothers. But really, it's applicable to all of us as believers or as a church. Okay, the best thing we can do as a church for our children is to bring children to the Word and model our faith. That's the best thing we can do. Bring children to the Word and then model our faith. And so I trust that we will learn from these wonderful examples of Lois and Eunice, the mother and grandmother of Timothy.